Good morning.
Wow.
And friends and family of Alamo United Methodist Church. You know, it's kind of different today. And maybe in another hour we'll figure out what's different, but something is. This is Alamo, the place to be on Sunday mornings. For those who have found us on their radio at FM 96.9 here in San Antonio, we are located at 4071 North Foster Road. And for anyone looking for a new church home or just a church to come and visit, join us on any Sunday morning at 10:30. Everyone, especially visitors, is welcome. The scripture selected for our worship service today is Psalm, or for opening our worship service, is Psalm 126, taken from the New King James Version of our Bible. Listen for God's word in this reading. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done good things for them. We say, the Lord has done good things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seeds for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing with him the sheaves. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And usually I go sit down about now, and then Ted comes up and it's his turn. But as we move more and more slowly toward that so blessed day that we call Christmas, oh God, help us to so anticipate the good news that you will bring us, that it is so much more beautiful when it finally does come into our recognition. And it'll be so beautiful that we can scarcely believe it. Thank you, God, that you're already doing this. Prepare our hearts and our lives once again to expect the life-giving news which will come to us through your prophets. It has done so repeatedly during the many centuries that you have sent it to us repeatedly. So often, dear Lord, we simply accept the presence of our Savior among us as though it were nothing new, nothing with your presence and your precious love attached to itself, nothing planned by yourself to bring a stabilizing effect to our troubled world. Send us your blessed word into our troubled times with such an effect that it can change war into peace and hatred into love. Give us hearts that will once again receive all of your precious message of hope. Make your new message of hope so mysterious and so wonderful that it alters all human arrangements. And God, create in our lives the peace and goodness as found in the garden of creation. Be with us, Lord Jesus, this day and forever. In your name we pray. Amen.
The third candle to remind us of John the Baptist and all God's messengers who prepared the way for our Savior's coming. The light shines on in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came to bear witness to the light that all might believe through him. Almighty God, give your people grace to enter on the way of salvation. As they listen to the voice of John, the Lord's herald brings them safely to Jesus, whom John foretold. Amen.
And our offerings, let us go to God in prayer. Father, during this season of giving, we remember that you have given to us the ultimate gift, the gift of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask, Lord, that you keep us mindful during this season, not only to be generous to those that we know and love, but to others in the world that need to know your truth and your salvation. We ask, Lord, that you take our tithes and offerings, that you use them to further your kingdom here on earth. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. Today's scripture is from John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Then John 1, verses 19 through 28. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely. I am not the Messiah, they asked him. Then who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? Answered, no. Finally they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, or the prophet? I baptize with water, John replied, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me. The straps of those sandals I am not worthy to untie. This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptized. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Hallelujah. Help us shine. Welcome, glorious one, Lord of life and light. Dawn in us your power and peacemaking. Hallelujah. Help us shine. You bathe us in the light of your grace, that we may be grace. You fill us with the light of your truth, that we may be truth. You flood us with the light of your love, that we may be love. Hallelujah. Help us shine. Sharing your light, spreading your light, beyond our imagining to your desiring. Hallelujah. Help us shine. Unveil, bright and true, a being worthy of stretch of your embrace. Hallelujah. Help us shine. Draw us to your light. Draw all to your light. Hallelujah. Help us shine. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Please take a moment to allow the peace of Christ to wash over you. Open your hearts and minds so that you may hear the message that God has for each of us today. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come seeking, we come searching, we come as those in the past, wondering, but yet we know the rest of the story. We know that the Savior was born, and the Savior will be born again. We ask, Lord, that you open our hearts and minds so that we may hear the message that you have given to through your Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord, that you strengthen Brother Gene as he gives your word, and let your words be his words, and let him put aside that which is human and take on that which is you. Help us to absorb your word and take it to the world. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Kids. Well, good morning. You know, how many days is it until Christmas now? 8, that's right. And sometimes I hear someone say, I can't wait till Christmas. Do you guys say that sometimes? Do you? Well, the truth is we can wait. In fact, we must wait. And the question is, how will we wait? Will we wait in grumpy silence because we had to wait in line, or there was too much traffic, or there's nothing to do, or the weather's good or bad or cold or hot? Or will we decide to experience all the joy of the season? Now today, we lit the third candle on the Advent wreath. And the third candle stands for joy. So, I wanted to give you guys a little story about the candy cane. Because if you hold it upside down, what does it look like?
A J.
That's right, a J. And that could stand for joy, right? But I want each one of you to take one of these, and while I tell you what the different colors in it mean, then look at it and see if you can see those colors. Madison, can you hand one to me? Okay. So the candy cane was introduced first time in the 1880s by a candy maker who lived in Indiana. And he wanted to make a candy that could be a witness during the holiday season. And so he began with a stick, white. And the pure white was to show the virgin birth of the Savior, of Jesus. And so then, it was also to show about his sinless nature. It's okay, he can hear me. And the candy was made hard, like a rock, to show us that Jesus is our solid rock and foundation of the church and the firmness of the promises of God. Now the white stripes, you see how there's white stripes on there? The white stripes on the candy cane represent the purity of Christ. And the little tiny red stripes, see how there's fat red stripes and little ones? Well, the little tiny red stripes symbolize the scourging of Jesus before he was hung on the cross. But the big red stripes show the blood that Jesus shed for each of us on the cross. Now, the shape of the candy cane represents a shepherd's staff, because Jesus is the good shepherd. But if you flip it around, it could be a J to stand for Jesus, and also a J to stand for the joy in the expectation of him coming again. So today, we want to pray that as we wait for the day when we celebrate the birth of our Savior, and as we wait for the day when he will come again, we want God to fill our hearts with the joy that only Jesus can bring. You know, Advent and Christmas aren't just about the tinsel and the lights and the presents, but they're about the birthday of Jesus. Now, there used to be a song a long time ago, and I know all these people out here know this song, and it's called Down in My Heart, and it talks about the joy. So we're going to sing one verse of that. Okay, you all are going to help me, right? Okay, here we go, Gayla. You got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Well, down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. Thank you guys for your attention. You enjoy your candy canes, okay?
For the children each week are so beautifully made, so beautifully thought out, and especially like this morning, hopefully they will remember this, the candy cane story. It's pretty important. But, you know, I went through life not even thinking about it, and then along came my children. And my children went through Sunday school and church, and by the time they were big enough to get themselves dressed and to church, they were learning things that I had forgotten. So it's important that we keep reminding the children and reminding us of the beautiful stories that are so prevalent in our church. They fill a need. But that's not what I'm up here this morning for. The scriptures that we have appointed for this morning have been selected such that they include another gospel excerpt, that being the beginning of Jesus' Galilean ministry, as detailed in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 4. In Luke's Gospel, the story of Jesus' ministry portrays him ending the satanic temptation and his returning to Galilee, where he had lived most of his younger life, and was thereby far more familiar. You know, he grew up there. Jesus had established the custom of going to the synagogue every Sabbath and taking the opportunity to read the scripture. And on this particular day, he stood up to read, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. Jesus opened the book to the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And he began to say to those who were gathered, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your presence." Jesus' audience was glad to hear his message, but they obviously had an interpretation of the passage that was contrary to the interpretation that Jesus gave. Jesus included the Gentiles as being beneficiaries of God's blessings. The Jews were so confident that they were God's unique and chosen people that they tended to not look favorably on anyone else. When they heard this young man who had grown up among them speak of Gentiles in a complimentary manner, wow, to say they were angry was kind of a not really, because they really were angry. They hustled Jesus out of town to the brow of a hill, and they would have thrown him down the hill, but Jesus avoided them as he had intended and avoided any harm. Jesus began his ministry by identifying with the poor, the sick, and the oppressed. Jesus had come to minister to them and to set them free. He puts no national, cultural, or racial boundaries on his ministry. Jesus includes everyone. Good, bad, or indifferent, everyone is there for him to preach to. And as Luke's account indicates, this is quite unacceptable to the good church folks of that place and that time. They were just different. As Luke's account indicates, this was totally unacceptable. Can you imagine? Here's this young fellow that basically he's just a young grown man, and he's lived there his entire life, and they've known exactly how he was going to do everything, and here he is being nice to Gentiles. How could he? They know not who they face. But the news from any day that we face, the news of that comes on the radio, the news that we read in the newspaper, can be embarrassing. Someone who is not what they had claimed to be may be later discovered to lack the skills they had claimed. You know, Jesus didn't put out any great claims on what he was going to say, and he didn't give them any critique to follow. He just preached what was on his heart. But there's a lot of people in various times in our history who we discover aren't exactly like they said they were. There was a University of Notre Dame coach that was hired several years ago, and they knew that he was the cat's meow. He was just the best they could have. Then they found out he'd never gone to college. Well, he didn't stay around as long as he had planned. He didn't have the degree that was on his resume. We live in a world where all too frequently people pretend to be something other than what their credentials can support. We have one who pretends to be a doctor, but who lacks the education and skill for that profession. Another purports to be an experienced attorney, but has never studied law. One who claims to be single is found to be married. The age of pretension, the time of great pretenders, could be how we could label this generation, this group of people at this time. This fact alone tends to make our text really refreshing. When the Jews questioned John the Baptist, that is, when I was talking with my wife about this, she says, "Which John?" I said, "How many do you want me to mention?" John the cousin? Which cousin? He was related to every... It's the thing, when you grow up in the same town all your life, you're related to everybody there, so... But anyway, John did not like being questioned about his identity. It was really pretty simple. He and Jesus were almost cradle partners. They grew up together and all these things. But the Jews wanted the Messiah. And it didn't matter what the Messiah looked like, acted like, or did things according to it. They wanted a Messiah. And when they asked John who he was, could it be possible, these people thought, that he was the Messiah that they'd been waiting on for generations? But John was a little more forceful in his language than they expected, because he openly and adamantly said, "I am not the Messiah." John was clear about his role in the grand scheme of God's working. He was a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Make straight the paths of the Lord." As John echoed the ancient Isaiah, he would not claim any credentials that were not his. John was a sign that pointed the way to the truth. But he refused to claim anything that he was not. John the Baptist models a character from which our church, and I'm not referring to just Alamo United Methodist, I'm saying the church, all of us combined, we can grow rich, and we can draw rich lessons from the church. First of all, the church is not the end of faith. It isn't born here. It doesn't live here. Yes, it is here. We're permeated with it. However, the faith is in Christ Jesus. And we can stand out front, and if our friends haven't come by and put up a new sign since I got here, we can say, "This is where Jesus is taught." But I don't know what sign is up there right now. It might have changed. But anyway, our role is to teach about Jesus, to tell the stories that he told, not necessarily by his voice, but by his actions. And he only spent about 3 years doing it. So that's miracles after miracle. But the church points out the object of our faith. And that object is none other than Christ Jesus. We exist to follow Jesus. Everything about us and all that we do should point to the one who is the true light. This word is necessary in an age when the church can sometimes pretend to be the do-all, be-all, everything we're it, and the end-all of our Christian faith. Our Christian faith is something that we have learned from the time we were small, and we will keep learning it forever. But we are parties to it. We don't own it. It's ours, but it is based on the teachings of our Lord Jesus. So sometimes our church universal, needs to consider itself or test itself to be sure that it's not getting in the way of the truth. The truth is embodied in the Lord Jesus. And that was the big thing that John the Baptist told us. There are things that are true, and he will tell you what's true, but he will not pretend that he made it up. And Jesus, according to our Gospels, is the true light, which enlightens everyone. In this time of national exclusivism, well, that's a big word, and religious suspicion of traditions different from our own. Hey, what about those other churches? Are they getting away with things that... I hope not. We may have to keep an eye on them, you know. But it can be tempting for us to claim that we have a special revelation from God. And who all besides I have heard of the story of a young pastor who was called on to say an invocation at a community gathering shortly after the bombing of the World Trade Center. And he was so confused over what he was saying and what he was supposed to be saying that he kind of got a little bit off the track. And he started out with, "Oh God, you are the God of America." Wait a minute. Well, God may be the God of America, but he's also the God of the world, the cosmos, everything bigger than we can even imagine. Part of the revelation that Jesus, the true light, brings is the reminder that God is larger than everything we can imagine, all of our creeds, wider than our national boundaries. Just say it is and plug in God, because he is bigger than we can name. On this third Sunday of Advent, we remember our brother, John, whom we call the Baptist, who pointed beyond himself to the one that he name-calling the Lamb of God. And what better name could John have used to describe Jesus? We need to remind ourselves that this one, whom John called the Lamb, gave himself not just for America, but for the sins of the entire world. And not just for our world, the world. Perhaps the message we need to bring or to hear ourselves and give to the world this Advent is that the light which shines through Christ is a revelation that all of us are children of the one true God. The light that enlightens is a reminding light which teaches us that we cannot say, "My Father who is in heaven," until we have thoroughly learned how to say, "Our Father who art in heaven."
Yes.
to a religious system that had come to believe it had a corner on the truth, John brought a word that a true light was coming into the world. It would enlighten everyone. Later, in the glow of that light, Peter and Paul and many, many others came to the awareness that God loved also the Gentiles. Wow. That same light glows in our world and is teaching us that God loves the very people that we love to hate. Whomever they are, whomever they may be. And we, by God's grace, are a sign that in our best day can only point the way toward the enlightening light. Let us day by day praise God for such a ministry in such a dark and hurting world in which we live. And may we ask that God remind us day by day, whenever we forget, that we need Him as desperately as we can possibly imagine. He is the light who came into the world to bring the word to us. Let us be always aware that we need Him desperately, day by day. And again, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our hymn of invitation this morning is In the Garden. Please stand. I come to the garden alone.
God, that you give our pastor and our pastors safe travel coming home. And pray that they have had a good, relaxing time in all that they have done. And back at the job again this evening or tomorrow. And Lord, be with each of us as we go from here today. Keep us always mindful that we are only those who can point the way to you. We are not your representative except to point out where you are and what you do. Be with us, Lord Jesus, this day and always. In your holy name we pray. And now I turn my hat around one more time. And please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us. And I know we know it. I heard it very well earlier this morning. I didn't even make a sound. But our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And as we go from here today, be safe, and let us join again here next Sunday to hear what our pastor has to bring to us. And now, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us go our separate ways safely and comfortably and in Christ's presence.
Don't forget about our Christmas celebration tonight at 6 o'clock. There'll be lots of snacks. There'll be bells playing. There'll be pianos be playing. There'll be singers. It'll just be a fun time for everybody. Please stand for our closing hymn, While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night.
While shepherds watch by night, while sitting on the
What's up with them?